previously Uncoupled with Chaos, a personal podcast.
Sure. He needs a job. We'll talk about that next week.
Oh, boy.
We'll talk about that. So that'll be a main topic of conversation.
You know what he said to me today?
Oh, this has come up?
He goes, boy, the bushes are out of control. Somebody needs to cut those.
Oh, yeah.
I said, yep, they sure do. Sounds like a job that Dad's going to have you working on with him.
Yeah, he can do it with the manual shears.
And he was like, well, you know.
The power tool.
He goes, well, you know, he hadn't asked me to do anything since he said that.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Coupled with Chaos.
There's a chance there is a cough drop lodged in my throat.
What?
It's entirely possible. Familiar feeling? It happened to me. We were in the back of my grandfather. This was had to be maybe post-divorce. But I had got a butterscotch. You remember those Brock's?
I think it's a Brock's
butterscotch. Mm-hmm. I believe I swallowed one of them whole.
Oh, they're so good and they're big too.
And it was stuck in my throat. And I was in the back of his, gosh, it seems like it was a Buick, a gray Buick of some kind. And it was stuck back there and I was alone. And I think I managed to work it down.
You could really choke on one of them.
Well, that was it was traumatic. So I think maybe where some people have a narrow esophagus, I think mine is big because when I was a child, it passed a whole butterscotch through there.
Stretched it out permanently.
Yeah, it did. That's good. So maybe this cough drop will. What we do is we have a routine of taking in a cough drop before we podcast because
we're
old.
Allergy scratchy or whatever.
Yeah, and something happened. So I was in a hurry to get it down, and evidently I got it down.
Apparently.
Or at least most of it.
And I did not use one, so I'm going to continuously clear my throat.
Well, that'll be good. That'll like be that. Great. It'll make for a great podcast.
Right.
What a traumatic week for us.
I'm just emotionally drained.
So
I feel exhausted every night.
As you know, we are. For those of you who don't check us out midweek or our subscribers, what you'll notice, maybe our audio is a little better because we are actually in the same room using, I would not professional recording equipment, but close. But we can at least see each other. I can see you. You don't look at me, so that's not an option.
Yeah, try not to.
Yeah, I know. So we're at least together because of this week after, what was it, 26 days?
Almost 4 weeks.
Yeah, almost 4 weeks of our fostering Jenny. We took her back on Tuesday.
Yeah.
For her to leave on Thursday to go up to New England.
Yeah.
So
on a big purple bus.
Yeah.
With about 52 dogs.
I thought maybe we had lost a dog. We lost our Lily.
In February.
And I think it had been, you know, between that and your surgery, everything had kind of been a blur.
Traumatic.
And then bringing her in, you know, I kind of thought it would be easier because we weren't as attached to the foster dog or had the life experiences with Jenny that we had with our Lily.
Yeah. And I think the first couple of weeks it was that way. She was kind of a handful. She was tearing stuff up. And I found myself thinking, gosh, how much longer? You know, because I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't have my grandpuppies. You had to rush home from appointments and hope and pray that she hadn't gotten in a hold of something else that she tore up. And, you know, it was just a lot. But once she settled in, really, it was after she felt better. She finally got on the other side of
being sick, really.
And that last.
And what did she have when we got her?
An upper respiratory infection.
Sure. And that's a part of the reason why she had to get out.
Yeah.
Our job was to get her healthy enough so that she could travel and be with her new family.
She actually finished her medicine Saturday and left Tuesday. So it really was just under the wire. But, and that was the shelter's fault because they'd messed up her meds and she'd missed a whole week. And it was a couple weeks before they realized it and she was getting sick again because she'd never finished her meds in the first place. And so she had to start all over again. Then she was allergic and then change it again. And poor
and,
dog. Was
and they have a lot to deal with. So, yeah. I get it. Obviously, we wish everything was perfect, but...
She went through a lot. And so, really, once she was feeling good and, you know, realized that everything was safe here and she had plenty of stuff to do and that we were going to spend a lot of time with her, she really got into our routine and kind of settled in. And then it was different. It was really a positive experience then.
And it was positive before then. I wouldn't have traded any of it.
Yeah,
but it turned a corner.
Yeah, she really stopped tearing stuff up. And she, you know, was, I guess, just more into our routine and not getting you up at night. Mm-hmm. We kind of had a system for going to the bathroom. She'd started to signal.
Better.
Clearly, when she needed to go out, there were less accidents, and it was just better.
Yeah.
Things were better. And so, we had settled into her being part of our daily lives, and she had settled into us being part of her daily life, and, you know, everybody knew what to expect, and it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we had really grown to love her, and
well,
she had grown to love us.
At this time, after, you know, three, almost 4 weeks... We'd really gotten to see her personality.
Yes.
And her personality and ours and how we meshed. And we were, like you said, just kind of getting into the rhythm.
Right.
And it takes that when you have a new dog.
Yeah. And, you know, and she had to learn to trust us and we had to learn to trust her and we had just worked out all the kinks.
Hmm.
And everything was really good. And she really... The last week especially really clearly bonded to us. And I know I really bonded to her.
It made it really difficult, did it not?
It's so hard.
Right. And so I think you really began to feel it. You know, I think for us, as Sunday rolls around and we have our routine and it gets to be... It's there, and you could see it coming. It was more like the countdown had begun.
Yeah.
And you really realized that she was going to be gone. And you don't know. You think, gosh, you don't get so attached, but you really do.
Yeah.
I think especially nursing her back to health.
Yeah. Because we really got to see her blossom and come into herself, you know.
And so you spent the last day was kind of... special for you guys.
Yeah.
So what did you guys do?
Well, she had finally finished her meds Saturday, and she was not allowed to have anything dairy that whole time because it would interfere with the particular antibiotic that she was on. And so once she had finished that Sunday, or no, I guess it was Monday, I gave her my ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm.
We sat and shared it on the couch, and she wasn't sure what to do at first, and she was all gentle, but once she tasted it, she really liked it. But she waited patiently for me to let her have some, and she enjoyed sharing that. It was nice. And I was glad to be able to give her that because she probably had never had ice cream before, and we'd had a lot of hot walks where she could have used it, but...
Because she's funny. She's like, if you're in a hot area of the U.S., what happens is you'll notice if you look outside squirrels, what they do in this heat.
They splay on their bellies.
Yeah, they'll find a place in the dirt and just sprawl out and get as much of their body on the dirt as they can. Well, she would do this when she was hot on a walk.
On a walk, yeah. And she did it in the cold mud. There was a muddy spot. And she hopped off the sidewalk all of a sudden and plopped down with her belly in the mud.
She's part
squirrel.
And I was
like, oh, and I had to rinse her off with the hose when we got home because she'd already had a bath.
Mm.
And I didn't want her to go dirty. And so... you know, I brought her home and sprayed her in the yard, and she actually really liked it. She stood there and let me put the cool water
on
her
belly.
Our
other dogs would not, they're not a big fan of that.
Yeah, she wasn't sure at first, but then I think it felt so good that she stood there and let me spray her.
But she got her rhythm with the ice cream?
Yeah, she loved it. And so on our last day, I had to have her to the North facility, which is, you know, traffic's bad up there, by 5 o'clock.
Like Hazlitt.
Yeah, and it's not where we got her from.
Mm-hmm.
So, a little less familiar for me, and I'd never actually driven there. I rode with Haley and Daniel when we were looking at dogs for them to adopt in February, but that's the only time I'd been there, and I'd never driven there. So, it said it was going to take, you know, 30 minutes or so, to get there. So I thought, well, I'm going to keep her as long as I can. I had therapy that morning, and so I hated being away from her in the morning. I came back as soon as I could and, you know, spent all my time with her, and we went and had our walk early before it got too hot. And because usually we'd wait till about 2, but that's when I really needed to head up there. So we went early. And we took our time. We sat by the lake in the grass together. And she rested in the shade for a while. And we explored the field that she liked to go in and just kind of took an extra long moseying walk. And she was so sweet. I didn't want to come home.
Right.
So we got home, and then I made her her own bowl of ice cream. I put it down, and she didn't know what to do. Like, she hadn't had it from a bowl, and she was like, huh, what's this? You know, she wasn't sure how to eat it, because before I held it in the cone. So I put my hand into it and just scooped it up in my hand, and then she would lick and eat it off my hand. So I ended up giving her the whole bowl. My fingers were numb by the time I was done. But she ate it all and licked the bowl, so she had a whole bowl of ice cream. She was pretty happy. And it was apple cinnamon, and she likes apples and fresh fruit, so she liked it a lot. It had chunks of apple in it. And then I shared, you know, all my meals with her. I shared my breakfast with her, shared my lunch with her, gave her some of everything and whatever she wanted. And
because we didn't know she was going to take a drive. And so the issue was, is we just really weren't sure. And I think, you know, with a dog like that, you just think, you know, she's going to think that, you know, we've abandoned her
again. Yeah.
But I don't know that the dog has those thoughts necessarily.
Well, I mean, they can feel scared or alone or out of place, just like people do, you know.
And you took, so you ended up really the whole day with her.
Yeah, and about 2:30, I finally said, well, I probably should head that way. You know, I don't know what traffic's going to be like. And so we headed out, and just as I was getting ready, it was actually closer to probably 2:15, and just as I was about to back out, I was getting her settled in her seat, she tried to climb over in my seat because I didn't have her attached yet, and when I pushed her back, her paw hit my iced tea cup that I'd picked up at Panera, flipped it over upside down on the floor, popped the lid off, and it went right into my paper sack carrying bag that I had put her bio in and her treats and bones and toys that I was sending with her for the trip. And so it was all soaked. I opened the paper up inside the envelope. It was all blurry. The ink was running. I'm like, this is a disaster. And then I look over and the iced tea is like 2 inches deep in my drink holder in my van.
Well, like, she'll clean that out.
Dog, what have you done?
She's just a big, what a she big is a black mouth cur is what she is.
She's
and so
just big.
I don't know. Again, this is our first experience with a dog like that, but I'd have to say we talked kind of as this ended, right?
And
that we really thought that she had the potential to be our best dog ever if we kept her.
Yeah.
She was, and we've had wonderful, wonderful animals.
We have.
But we really went with her personality and everything. We went, you know what? She could have been the best of all of them. And so that was hard.
It was so hard.
I said goodbye to her in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, we had her normal morning routine, but, you know, I have to head out early. So I took her. She did everything right in the morning that she was supposed to. I turned her dog show on. She got on her couch.
She liked
and
that.
I kissed her between her eyes. It was so soft between her eyes.
It's like velvet.
And so I did that and said goodbye. But you took her up there, and you said it was kind of like a drive-through.
Yeah, it was. You know when you go to, like, the city dump, and you pull up to, like, a little window, like a little guard station almost, and the guy talks to you through the window and flags you through. You know, you say, I'm going to dump this and that and the other, and he goes, go to that one and that one and that one, and go on through. And then you pull up, and you dump your stuff, and you leave. It was set up like that.
And so, you were surprised.
I thought I was going to the shelter there,
you could
which
take
is
her in
really and nice. And they have grassy area, and it's got like paved stones to walk on. And I thought, you know, I'll get there a little early to make sure I get there in time. And then we'll go sit in the grass and I'll walk her around and we'll spend some time together there. And then we'll be safe because I know we've made it on time. Yeah. So I wasn't thinking I was going to show up at 3 o'clock and just turn her over. She didn't have to be there till 5. I was thinking I was going to go have like park time, you know, and then go. But no, it was a whole different building down the street. So when I pulled up to the North Shelter, I'm like, I better check the email. And I checked the email and it said it's this other facility across the street. So I went over there and it was a drive up and you're here for transport. Yep. Okay. Go around. You go around. There's like nothing there. It's like a mini parking lot for the people that work there. And then you just exit. I was like, what? So I pull up to the curb and while I'm sitting there, you know, trying to take a picture of me and her in the car, I look over and this lady's just standing next to my driver's door with a leash already. I'm like, what the heck?
I wasn't ready.
And so I start bawling because I'm like, oh my gosh, she's got to go. And the lady was like, oh, and she took a couple steps back to give us a few minutes. So I took a picture with her in the van. Her head was as big or bigger than mine. She's so pretty. And then I said goodbye to her, and the lady took the leash, and she just turned around and walked away, and that was it. I was so sad. I just sat in my van for like 10 minutes and cried my eyes out. I couldn't even drive away.
And so we didn't know what it was like, but I think as the day progressed, you began to see some pictures, because this was a big event.
Yeah.
There's a lot of animals that were moving.
Yeah, they
sent... And it's a lot to coordinate.
They sent like 83 animals or something, or 79, I think it ended up being. I think some didn't make it because they were sick or whatever happened. So there were...
Maybe they didn't show up. The people just kept them.
I think 79.
What dog?
No, you can't because it's once a rescue tags them, they belong to the rescue.
What do you mean? She ran away.
So you don't even have the option to adopt them as a foster once a rescue tagged them. They become the property of the rescue, so... They're not adoptable because
but pictures began to come out.
So there were a lot of this was a they said a historic transport that they were sending this many animals at one time
from DFW.
Like,
up.
Yeah, like 40 went by, or no, 30 some went by plane, like 31, and the rest were all on the bus. And so there was this little tiny plane, and they posted pictures. The volunteers stayed up all night. They were there from midnight until 11:30 a.m. Just getting all the dogs in their carriers.
I could see you doing that.
Packing up the plane, and then the plane was leaving at like 4:30 in the morning, and then they had to start packing up all the dogs in the carriers for the bus and then load the bus, and the bus was supposed to leave at 9 a.m. So it was a lot of work for them.
Yeah,
and they posted pictures.
And this whole time, they're walking dogs and posting pictures.
Yes.
And I think they'd understood, because I think it takes maybe somebody a little different to foster a dog. And so I think they understood that, you know, everybody was a part of the team.
Yes. And so it turned out they're like half the fosters were just like me. They're all like, I've lost this dog forever. I just want to die.
Right.
Everybody's like, please, can I see a picture? Can I find out who has them? Can I find out when they get there? You know, everybody was just panicked. Everybody got so attached to these dogs. They were great. And so... You know, I hated that they had to be sent away because I think most of us wanted to keep our dogs, you know. They would have been foster fails, as they say. But so they could have had homes here. But so it seems sad to send them off.
I think this for us, it was a good experience. And we got to meet a wonderful dog and keep her alive and move her on to another family. I think that's good. And the hope would be that we find ways to do this again and there's more dogs that can be saved.
Yeah.
Because she would not have been saved if not necessarily if we hadn't. Somebody else could have stepped in that hole. But You do it. You have a good job of spotting animals.
Yes.
You do that very well for everyone.
Yeah.
So pictures were posted. Some of the most, some wonderful shots. Turns out that she made herself a boyfriend.
Yeah. They had posted pictures several times, but Jenny wasn't in any of them. They had one short little video of her meeting a dog through the fence on the first day.
And that was great.
That she was being held.
I think it was good for us to see that she was happy.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you think about going in a shelter, we see all these, you
cages.
Know, help a dog things, and where it's just depressing, and their ears are down, and they're all mopey. But
they tuck their tails.
The sun was out; they were outside.
Yeah, that
it was
nice.
I felt pretty good then.
Yeah, and so they, so I had said, "Oh, no pictures," and they said this was the first whole day after I dropped her off, and they said, "Oh, I think some of the other volunteers got some," and so I kept watching, and I never saw any posted. And then there were like 60 pictures posted by a volunteer the morning that they left. From the day before, and none of them were her. And there were only 79 dogs. I'm like, why was she not one of them? So I had no photos, just that one short video. And so I was like, I kept saying, what? No picture of Jenny? And crying, you know, cry emoji. And so somebody dug and found that, that one of them had taken pictures, and they posted them and
they
tagged me because they knew I was looking for them. But it was Thursday night around bedtime. It was around 11 o'clock when I finally saw them. I was getting ready for bed, and then it popped up, and I exclaimed to you, oh my gosh, there's pictures of Jenny, and she's posting them now. So she did one at a time, and there turned out to be three, and she was in a meadow of wildflowers, and it was beautiful. They were like professional portraits, and she looked so pretty in every one of them. She had her head cocked to the side in one,
and she has a wonky eye.
Yeah, her wonky eyes, the cutest ever. I'll know her anywhere.
Good.
So those were beautiful. And she looked so regal amongst all the wildflowers, just the contrast of color. And she was beautiful and I loved them.
And there hasn't been a day since she left that you have not been in tears about her.
Yes.
So would you do it again? If you know where you were now and the situation that happened, would you do this again? If you went back in time?
Well, like I said, this particular group was hard for a lot of the fosters. And I think it's because they don't normally have this many for transport. And so some of the fosters who've been doing it for a while commented that, you know, they weren't sure they would do a transport foster again because they didn't have the option to keep them if they fit their family. Because, like, their kids got attached and, you know, all that.
A month is a long time.
It's a long time. And every time they have a transport, it's like a month. And so that's a long time to have a dog and then send them away.
Especially for dog people.
Yes. And obviously, the fosters are dog people or they wouldn't be volunteering to take care of these
dogs.
Unless
you're a cat person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then take a dog and then put him right with your cat.
That's not good.
Yeah.
So,
but would you do it again if you had to go back?
I'm sure I would because...
I mean, not even in the future, this time.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I told the people at the facility. I said, you know, as much as it broke my heart, I wouldn't change it. Because she was perfect.
Right. And so I think for us, maybe it looks like we have an update. It looks we will, looks like maybe she has at least arrived in New England. And so we'll talk about that maybe and the rest of our week as we, I guess, at least make an attempt to get back to normal. So we will talk about all that and more coming up.
Thank you for listening.
You can listen to the rest of this episode
by subscribing to our Coupled with Chaos channel on Apple,
by subscribing to our Patreon,
or by subscribing to our Supercast
for $3.99 a month,
where you can hear us talk about reality shows,
real life, and more on our podcast,
covering shows airing on TLC, A&E, Bravo, and the WE Network.
Just follow the instructions in the show notes.
Tell your friends about this podcast
and rate and review us on your favorite podcast player.
Follow us at Coupled with Chaos and all the socials.
Or contact us directly by email at coupledwithchaos@gmail.com.